Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, we want to say welcome out. So thankful that you're here today. I know you had probably a temptation this morning thinking, hey, I was at Easter last week. I'm going to take a week off, but you didn't do that. You came today. And so glad that you're here. If you know anything about our church, you might not know a lot, but you probably know this. We're normally in series. Really, our God is a God of seasons, and so we try to do that as well here in the church. So we'll have different seasons, different series based on what we're going through, what our city, our state, our nation, and the world's going through, and that's our normal flow, but today's kind of a little bit different. I'm excited about it, but today I have a standalone message for you. It's been a long time since I've done that, but I really think that it's going to help somebody, and I felt this. I felt like it's going to help somebody in this room, also somebody listening online, and somebody on our podcast as well, so I hope God's kind of raising the expectation. I know it's post-Easter, but God's got something special for us. And we're going to talk about that more in just a couple of minutes. But first, as we've alluded to a little bit so far today, last week was Easter. And if you were here, you know it was a very special day for us. In fact, it's our Super Bowl, right? Like for the church world, it's our Super Bowl. We pull out all the stops. Usually you'll go to a church and there'll be people like swinging from the ceilings and lasers and pyrotechnics and all that kind of stuff. And we didn't do some of that, but we still had fun and we celebrated. And it was a big Sunday for us. And so if you're a part of our church family, what I mean by that is that you've been around for a little bit, you're saying, hey, this is my home church, then you knew this. We didn't announce this last week, of course, but we had some internal goals that we were pushing for and we were pulling for. And if you were here, we had signs everywhere on every single door, pushing for 222 and pulling for 222. And let me just say this, we talked about this a little bit, but if we were going to hit those goals, those numbers, it would take a miracle. Like literally, like we weren't not just like taking like a little step of faith. If you've been around, you know, like that was a huge, giant step of faith, but we felt like God spoke, and so we want to listen to God and do what he says. And so that was our goals. And so I want to share that with you here today. And I try to prime the pump a little bit before I share big news like this, because I want to remind you today, we are not at a funeral. Okay, and so you can laugh, you can clap, you can celebrate, like that's actually like not just permitted, but like it's encouraged for you to do that. Not just that, but you'll see throughout the Bible, and we're going to give numbers here in a second, but we see throughout the Bible that when one person gives their life to Jesus, when one decision is made for Jesus Christ, that heaven throws a party. And I know we got Cinco de Mayo next Sunday, but it's got nothing on the party that goes on in heaven. And so what we try to do, yeah, y'all getting a little excited, I like it. What we try to do is we try to model that. If they're going to celebrate, why won't we celebrate, you know? And so I just want to encourage you to do that if we hit our numbers. But if not, we could still celebrate and praise God for it. So we were believing God for 250 in attendance on Easter Sunday. And then also the most important number, we're believing God for 20 decisions for Jesus Christ, not just in this room, but also in our elementary classes. We preach the gospel to them on their level. And in fact, if your kid committed their life or recommitted their life to the Lord, you got a letter from us letting you know that they did that so you can help step beside them. And so I know this is going to sound a little bit juvenile, but if you just enlighten me for a moment, could you give me a little drum roll on your lap? Would that be okay? If you don't want to play around, just like fake it, all right? Just like, come on, a little bit louder. I know it hurts a little bit. So we had in total attendance this last Sunday, come on, keep it going. We had in total attendance this last Sunday, 251 in attendance. I ain't playing, 251. I didn't 251. Like we had one. Oh, that's just the grace of God right there. and we were just counting people like a part of the service. We weren't counting people driving by, you know, or like across the street. You know, us pastors were tempted to, you know, count the squirrels, but we didn't do that on Easter. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's just incredible what God did. And yeah. Now, I hope you saved your best cheer for the second portion. You may be thinking, well, Pastor Ryan, you sound like you're about the numbers. Well, last time I checked, there's only 66 books in the Bible, and one of them is actually titled Numbers. And so maybe God cares about numbers. And I'll tell you this, the reason why God cares about numbers is because every number has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God, okay? So letting you know, don't get mad at me, get mad at God because it's one of his books, okay? So a little drum roll again. I know your lap's probably hurting a little bit. We were pushing, we were pulling, we were believing God for 20 salvations, and we had 28 salvations. Come on. Yeah. What am I trying to say? We hit our numbers, and so I just want to say a big thank you. I know many of you in this room, you gave, you prayed, you fasted, because we've been on this journey since January. If you've been with us, you know that. Not just that, but so many of our awesome, we call y'all the dream team. Y'all served, and not just here in this room, but also outside, early. We got so many in this room that you brought candy, you stuffed eggs while you're watching something on Netflix weeks before, and like seriously, I just want to say thank you. You leveraged your relationships. You went to your work, your school, your family, and said, hey, you need to come to my church. We're going to celebrate Jesus. So I just want to say thank you. I always dreamed of being the pastor of a church that like we could do this together because I'm very limited. And so I just want to thank you for what you did. God was glorified this last Sunday. We celebrated that our Savior is not dead. He is alive. Amen. And it was a really good Sunday. I'm going to jump into the message here in just a second. I just want to give you, this is really more of an announcement, but you know this may be that last Sunday was also Commitment Sunday for Kingdom Builders, and we're actually extending that to today as well. Now, typically on Easter Sunday, everybody shows up. So you're not just like having new people, but like all of y'all show up on the same day, which is not normal. But we still have people out of town, people still prayerfully considering. We've had stuff even come up this last week. And so today we're extending Commitment Sunday. I know the offering has already been done, but you can do that online. You can email us if you just want to give us an idea of your pledge. And this upcoming Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, we're going to announce where we landed with our first fruits and our Kingdom Builders pledges. So I hope you'll be back because literally this is going to affect our future as a church. And so I want to announce that here this next Sunday. I know I got to tease something, so I'm teasing that. And it will be a good day. This next Sunday. So if you got a copy of God's Word with you, maybe you use the YouVersion Bible app and the notes we have there, or maybe you're old school like me and you got a physical copy, well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think it's going to be a good one for you today, not because of me, but really I just feel an anointing upon this message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read a few verses in two different parts. You can see behind me maybe that we're going to start in verse 7. We're going to read a couple of verses, a few verses, and then we're going to jump down a little lower in the same chapter. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Starting in verse 7, this is NIV, New International Version. If I don't tell you that, by the way, that's what it is. I usually tell you if it's not NIV. But here we go, starting in verse 7 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's kind of interesting. This is what Tom was talking about a moment ago as he transitioned out of worship. Kind of cool. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Now move with me a little bit further down to verse 16. Same chapter, continues the same idea and thoughts. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. And if you're over 30 years old, you feel that in your body, right? Like things hurt and you've got sore things and like you used to be able to do stuff that you can't do anymore. And so you're like, yeah, that's me. Though outwardly we are wasting away, thank the Lord, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, this is so important, achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Verse 18, the last verse we'll read together. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, famous verse here, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Calling this message today, if you take notes, and we call note takers history makers around here. You don't have to take notes, but we'd encourage you to do that. Here's my title, Purpose for My Pain. Purpose for my pain. I'm going to help somebody. I really believe that today. Purpose for my pain. Let's pray. God, We love you so much, and I thank you for a church that loves you. I thank you for a growing church. I thank you for a church that not only can I challenge them as their pastor, God, but they're going to rise to the occasion. I thank you for a church that's not so focused on themselves, but's thinking about others. I thank you for a church, Lord, that didn't just love you and say that with their words, but they're living that out with their lives. And so I pray for us, each of us in this room and those listening on our website and also on the podcast. I pray, God, that this word from your word would change them. In the same way that you've challenged me in my study, in the same way, God, that you've come in and you said, hey, you got to switch some things up, you got to move things around. The same way you've done that in my life, I pray you do it in their life. Whether they're brand new to this church or brand new to the faith, whether they have no faith at all, I just pray, Lord, that you would challenge us, you would encourage us, you'd inspire us. And most importantly, we pray that you would change us from the inside out. May every ear hear what you have to say. And Holy Spirit, if it's something I don't even have planned, lead us in that direction, because this is your house, this is your place, this is your word. So do what you want to do. And we also pray for God's team this afternoon, the Houston Rockets, Lord. Be with them. We don't just want a W this afternoon. We want a W for the series. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's the sequel. I'm tired of Golden State winning. I'm just saying, like, we need somebody else to join the party here. All right, let's get right into it. If you're taking notes, I hope you'll jot this down. This is the first point. Remember, Purpose for My Pain is the title of this message. First point, number one, there's treasure beneath the surface. There's treasure beneath the surface. Where'd you pull that out from, Pastor? Verse 7, let's read it again. But we have this, there's the word, treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, even though it's really easy to understand the basic meaning, like you don't got to be like around church for a while, like you can understand the basic meaning here, not rocket science. Even though that's true, I want you to know something else today, that to truly, truly understand the depth of the meaning, because we understand the basic meaning, but to understand the depth of the meaning here, you need some more context. Let me help you out here this morning. We see that God, speaking through the Apostle Paul, he uses an analogy here. He talks about power and treasure, something great, dwelling inside something not great. And what's the analogy he uses? Jars of clay. Now, I want you to know something about these jars of clay. In almost every town, in every area of the Middle East, where most of the Bible, right, where everything happened, in every single town, basically, jars of clay were a dime a dozen. Like, I don't know if you grew up watching the Antique Roadshow. Anybody remember that? Like, and they would pull out this thing from their attic, and man, it was worth like $1 million. I had no idea. This is not what we're talking about, okay? Like, these were a dime a dozen. This was their version of our plastic cup. So here's what would happen. You need to understand this to get the depth of the meaning here. When a jar of clay would be broken, they had no choice but to throw it away. You see, if it was made of metal, they could repair it. If it was made of glass and it was broken, they can melt it back down and reuse it. They were green even back then, okay? Like, they could do that with both of those things, but a jar of clay, they could not repair. They were a dime a dozen, so they discarded them and threw them away. Well, what's a jar of clay? What's the analogy the other side of it? You figured it out already. It's us. Our bodies, I don't care how many muscles you have, right? Or like how long you can run before you get tired. Like, we all are still jars of clay. We are fragile. We're really not that special. Aren't you glad you came to church today? It's just the truth. And so the Apostle Paul, Holy Spirit leading him to write this to the church of Corinth, he's telling us, he's telling them back then and you and me here today, that even though you are weak, what's inside of you is what really matters. And he's not talking about willpower. He's not. He's not talking about your experience. He's not talking about your character even. He's talking about the all-surpassing power, which is God in you. That's what he's talking about. So even though we're wasting away. That even though we wish there was probably some things changed about our physical bodies, the power really doesn't lie with us, it lies in us. That's what God's telling us here. And so when you look at that phrase in the original language, all surpassing power, there's a lot of bite to that phrase. Here's what it means. It's special. It's talking about an incredible power. It's talking about a power that can't be measured or contained. So an unlimited power to infinity and beyond is what it's talking about. A power that defeats armies, a power that comes in numbers. I'm telling you, there's a lot here. A power that can be figured out or comprehended. It's the power to do miracles. So what are you trying to say to me, Pastor? Here's what I'm trying to say. And you should hold your head up high. Not because of you, but because of God in you. It's just a fact that the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, the 28 people that did that last week, the moment you surrender it all to him, the Holy Spirit lives in you. It's a fact. It's not just our church believing. The Big C Church across denominations believes this. Why? Because it's all throughout the Bible. It's crystal clear. And so you should hold your head up high. You should strut your stuff. Why? Not because of you, but because of God in you. There's treasure underneath the surface. So you may have a lot of weaknesses. Guess what? I do too. You may not feel very special. I'm there all the time. But if you're a Christ follower, you have a powerful treasure living inside of you. So don't focus on you. Focus on the God in you. Here's the second point. Today, I hope you'll jot this down. There's power under pressure. There's power under pressure. I want to sing that song, but I won't. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I want to remind you today who's writing here. I've said it a couple of times already today. It's the Apostle Paul. And if you're new to church, that probably doesn't mean too much to you, and that's completely fine. This is a great place for you to be, a great Sunday for you to show up today. But I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul went through some stuff. Like some stuff. Like, you think your life is tough, and it probably is, but it's nothing compared to Paul. I'm just telling you that when he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, things for the most part didn't get better, they got worse. And we don't preach that in churches here in America. It's give your life to Jesus and it's all rainbows and butterflies, baby. That's what we preach. You know, give your life to Jesus and you'll never get a ticket again. I wish that was true, but that's not. I got one a few months back, okay? Like, I wish that was true, but it's not. So let me remind you of some things, or maybe help you learn some things about Paul. Because you don't just need to know who's writing. You need to know the story of the person who's writing. I encourage you to do that with any book, any blog that you read. You need to know about the author to understand where they're coming from. Here's just a few things that the Apostle Paul went through. And again, they're not encouraging, but this is what he went through. We find these in chapter 11 of the same book if you're interested in reading them for yourself. But here's a brief summation, just a few. The Apostle Paul, he was put in prison frequently. He was flogged severely. He was exposed to death again. And again, 5 times he received 40 lashes minus one. If you're keeping count, that's 39. Happened 5 times in his back. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was pelted with stones. 3 times, I'm not making this stuff up, like this happened. 3 times he was shipwrecked, including spending a night and a day in the open sea. That's like my wife's worst fear right there. Like, you just don't know what's going on underneath the surface in the ocean. He was constantly on the move and always in danger. He went without sleep. He went without food. He went without water. And he went without clothing. And besides everything else that he faced, I told you I wouldn't really encourage you at this point. Beside everything else that he faced the daily pressure of his concern for all of these churches that he planted. And if you think our church is messed up, those churches he planted, they had some issues too. Like, they really, really did. And so this is the guy who's writing here. And so I think he's got some credibility is what I'm trying to say. That yeah, things are not going great, but God. yeah, I'm being experiencing this pressure from the outside, but God is sustaining me. And it's just interesting. I was thinking about this week, and maybe you're there, maybe you're not. But despite all of Paul's pain, and he had a lot of pain, like he was an eternal optimist. Like he's that person that kind of frustrates us a little bit. You know, you got that friend or that family member. Like things aren't good, bro. Why are you happy right now? It's kind of like Paul. I don't know if you watch Parks and Rec, and I know there's some stuff on there that maybe is not the greatest, but it could be worse because I know some of the shows that y'all watch, all right? And so think about Parks and Rec if you've seen it. He reminds me of Chris Traeger. I don't know if you've seen that. Like, this is literally the best day of my life is what he says all the time. And if that one didn't land, I know this one will. He reminds me of the Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You know what I'm talking about? Like gets his arm cut off. It's just a flesh wound, right? Like he's hopping on one leg. He got one leg left. I'm going to bite off your kneecaps. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, no, it's not. Like, have you had a bad day? Yes, it was a bad day. Like, Paul, he faced some stuff. But here's what I love about Paul, is that he acknowledged the stuff, but he added in the but every single time. Like, things are not great, but things are not looking good, but yeah, this isn't something I'm excited about, but. And I want you to know today that if he could find encouragement with his life following Jesus, you and I can find encouragement in our life. I just want you to know that today. There's power under pressure. The Apostle Paul isn't pretending that everything's okay. He's not pretending the pain's not there. He obviously acknowledges the pressure, the pain, the hurt. But here's what he knew. And if I was taking notes, I'd write this down. He knew that God's power is often revealed through pressure. God's power is often revealed through pressure. And I don't know about you, but this is where my mind goes when I think about that phrase. I think about diamonds, right? You've heard of how they're formed. Like, you could never put a ring on it if there wasn't first some pressure going on deep beneath the earth's surface. Y'all can laugh in church. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. So without a lot of pressure, without a lot of weight, without a lot of heat, you know this to be true, we would never eventually get a beautiful diamond. And I just wonder, here's one of the questions of the day. I just wonder what God could do in us and through us if we just trust him in his work. Like, I just wonder, like, what could God do if instead of trying to avoid the pressure, we embraced the pressure? Knowing that through this pain, there's a purpose. That even though I'm not excited about what's going on, I know my God is greater, and he's going to take this thing, this situation, whatever's going on, he's somehow going to turn it around for good. And friend, that's what God does. Like, he's the good maker. He takes horrible, nasty, like, I don't know how this is going to happen kind of situations, and he somehow turns them around for good. So I know there's a lot of pressure on the surface, but God's doing something special beneath the surface. So you may feel weak, but he's stronger. I know you're not enough, but God is more than enough. And I just believe this is a word for someone. You can write this down too. You can just receive it. I just felt this in my study this week. Somebody's got to hear this. Real simple, nothing profound on the surface. But just because you've been beaten up doesn't mean you're beaten. I just feel like somebody got to get that in their spirit today. Like, just because you've been beaten up doesn't mean you are beaten. There's power under pressure. God's doing a deep work in you. And if you can't see it, I know you can't. It's going to be beautiful at the end. Here's the third point. I just got three, but we'll spend a little bit of time on this one. Number three, there's more than meets the eye. Y'all heard that before, Optimus Prime? There's more than meets the eye. Here's what verse 18 says, another famous verse. All these verses really are well known for Christ followers. Verse 18 of the same chapter. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. And by the way, that's what we all normally do. We normally fix our eyes on what we can see physically, okay? So Paul's saying we fix our eyes not on what is seen. What is he saying? Not what we normally do, but instead on what is unseen. since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, it's interesting to me, just think with me for a moment. It's interesting that tonight, okay, I don't know what the forecast is, but it's beautiful right now. But tonight, we could go out in our backyard. We can go on our back patio, wherever we could to get a little distance and have some grass underneath us, okay? And we could go back there and we could look up in the night sky. And astronomy people, in fact, somebody, part of our church, they teach astronomy. And so I was talking to them this morning just to make sure to check my facts, all right? And astronomy people will tell you that in a city as big as Houston, fourth largest city in America, with a smog, y'all know we got that, and not just with smog, but with light pollution, standing in your backyard or on a patch of grass somewhere and looking up, you could only see somewhere around 200-300 stars. Like, we're limited in what we can see with the naked eye, like here in Houston. Now, if you traveled this week and you went to Montana, God's country, right? Like, you go out there where there's not really much cities, and I've heard before there's more cows than people. I don't know if that's true, but that's just what I heard. And you go out to Montana, you know, you don't have as much smog, you don't have as much light pollution, and you could stand on a patch of grass and look up, and scientists tell you that you could maybe see a few thousand stars. So the number goes up pretty good. But here's what I want you to see, pun intended, that even though you may be in Montana, and even though you may see more than you could in a big city like here in Houston, Texas, I want you to know that you still would be limited. We all know this because this does not take a scientist to figure this out, but there are billions of stars. Like billions just in our galaxy. And scientists believe there's billions of galaxies. And so whether you're in Houston or Montana, we are limited to what we can see with the naked eye. There's limits to what we can comprehend. There's limits to what we can understand. I know you may have 10 degrees. Maybe there's a doctor in front of your name. You're way smarter than me, but still, you're limited. Whether we're in Houston or in Montana or anywhere else, we are limited to what we can see. Well, here's what Paul is saying. That why would I use my limited sight when God can help me see so much greater? Like, why would I focus on what I can see right now? Because one day it's all gonna burn. Like, why would I focus? I mean, we had Easter last week. Why would I put all my eggs in this basket called Earth? When Earth is eventually going to pass away, did you know? Again, this is not just our church. This is the Big C Church. Like, new heaven and new earth is coming, okay? So why would my decisions and the way I raise my kids and the degree I pick at my university, why would that all be based around the temporary when I am so limited? Paul's trying to get your attention today. Through thousands of years, this is awesome. This is the word of God. He's trying to let you know that maybe, just maybe, you've been looking at the wrong things. And maybe, just maybe, you've been focused on the wrong things. I've told you this before if you've been around for a little while, but we are earth-born and heaven-bound. It's just the truth. We are earth-born and heaven-bound. Jesus wants you in heaven one day. But here's also the truth. He won't make you go there. It's your choice. It's your choice. And people will say to me, oh, well, how could God send us to hell? How could he do that? And I'll tell you, he doesn't send you to hell. You choose to go there yourself. Like, he's giving you a decision. Do you know that hell wasn't even made for you? It wasn't. God wants you in heaven. And so do we. That's why it's our vision, heaven full and hell empty. Like, I like you too much. Well, let me tell the truth. I love you too much. Because sometimes, you know, we got issues. Like, I love you too much. Just saying. Like, we want you in heaven. That's what God wants. You are earth born and heaven bound. And let me remind some people that there is no crime in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. We've all been touched by cancer. Our family, our friends, us. There's no disease in heaven. We are earthborn, but heaven bound. Stop focusing on this earth. Start focusing on what's going to last for eternity. I got to tell you, there is no traffic in heaven. Thank God. No bills in heaven. No, I'm preaching to somebody right now. There's no long lines at the DMV. I don't even think there's one up there. I'm just saying. Like, heaven's going to be an amazing place. We are earthborn, but heaven bound. So here's what Paul is saying, looking at the whole text now. I don't know if you remember the phrases he used, but he talked about how, based on the weight of glory, all of my problems seem light. Do you remember that? What Paul's saying is not that everything's easy. What Paul's saying is not that I'm pretending that it's not there, because I know people that do that. Well, I'm not sick. Yeah, you're sick. Like, you're coughing all over, like you're sick, okay? Paul's not pretending it's not there. He's saying that when I take one of those old school scales, y'all remember these? These used to have at the grocery store, in fact. When you take those old school scales and you put all my problems on one side, and we read, Paul had some problems, okay? When I put all my problems on one side, yeah, it's heavy, but when I take the other side of the scale and I put the weight of glory on it, that's when the problems see light. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the problems are heavy, but they are light compared to the weight of glory. What's the weight of glory Paul is talking about here? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about heaven. When you compare the two, my problems and the weight of glory is so much greater. And so let's put our attention, our focus, our thoughts on Jesus and not the problem. Like, we complain about our problem. Oh man, this is so bad. Like, just complain. Why not instead say, you know what? I'm gonna talk about the solution. I'm gonna proclaim God's promises. That, yeah, I don't feel great right now. Yes, I do not like this cancer, and God doesn't either. And so I'm just gonna proclaim in my body that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I'm gonna proclaim in this body that God is my healer. It's God's will to heal. There's more than meets the eye. I love this quote from a great book. And if you're a reader, you should read this if you haven't read it before. But it's by C.S. Lewis. It's called Mere Christianity. Great, great book. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know about this faith thing. You're yelling, pastor, and you're excited about it, but I'm not there yet. If that's you, this is a great book to read. Like, seriously. It's great for those that are struggling with faith that have no faith. Mere Christianity. Here's a little excerpt from it. If you've heard me preach before, I like to use quotes by C.S. Lewis. He's since passed now, but he's provided so much for the kingdom of God. But here's what he says in this book. I think it's going to help us. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world, they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in, and aim at earth and you will get neither. Let that speak to you today. You aim at heaven and you get all of it. I gotta tell you, like, what we're doing here in this church, in this city, like, this is fun. This is an adventure. This is exciting, but we're not doing it for earth. We're doing it because we believe heaven is real. So aim at heaven and you'll get both. And so here's the question. I already mentioned it, but here's the second question. If this is true, and I believe it's true, the Bible does as well. If this is true, why am I putting all my eggs in this basket? Why am I focused on what's temporary instead of what's eternal? There's a purpose for my pain. Why don't you bow your heads with me, close your eyes. God, I pray that your holy word would sink in deep to every soul. God, I come today and every single week, not with my personal opinion, but with my passion to preach your word. I know there's so many self-help books out there. I know there's so many blogs and things that we follow that speak into our life. The articles that we see reposted on social media. All the different news channels. And God, we have so much that we allow to come in and speak to us. And I just pray right now that most importantly, we would allow your word to penetrate our hearts. Your holy, perfect word. And I don't know where they're at today individually, but you do, Lord. And I don't know which point they needed to hear. Maybe they're going through some stuff and there's pain all around them and they just needed encouragement. That even though the pain is real, it's light compared to the weight of glory. Help us, Jesus, to fix our eyes on you. And instead of complaining about our promises or our problems, that we proclaim your promises. Instead of being so focused on all the questions, we focus on the solution, and it's you. We're so limited in what we can see and what we can know. But there's an unseen world out there. I pray, God, for those that maybe they feel like there's pressure all around them. They feel pressure at their job, at their school, from their family. They're really going through some stuff, like it's not easy. And I pray, God, that they would realize today the truth, that oftentimes your power is revealed through the pressure. In the same way we never get a diamond without all that heat and all that pressure and all that time, God, you want to take the mess that we're in and turn it into something beautiful. We don't know how you'll do it. We may not even understand it at the end. But God, it's what you do. You take the bad situations that we're in and you somehow turn them around for good. And I pray, lastly, for those underneath the sound of my voice, God's speaking to you right now. You think about your life and your body. Like, man, I've got so many weaknesses. Keep missing it. I want to do good, but I'm not. I want to be faithful, but I'm not. I want to follow Christ, but I'm not. If that's you today, receive the word from the Lord that even though you don't feel very special, the one who lives in you is far greater. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit as a believer in Christ. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, lives in you. You are more than a conqueror. If God is for you, who can be against you? That when you're weak, He is strong. That when you're not enough, He is more than enough. When you feel like you can't take another step, God is there to help you take that step. When you feel like you've been climbing and you keep slipping down and losing, God is there to catch you and to climb right beside you. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Those in this room, those listening online, if you're able to. I got to tell you that today there is purpose for your pain. There was hope, even in the middle of your dire situation, but only if you have Jesus. Because Jesus is our hope. If we try to fix it on our own, if we try to solve this problem on our own, we will fail. We are not enough. Our hope is tied around Jesus and Him alone. And so if you're here today underneath the sound of my voice and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then there isn't much hope for you. Because you could be Mother Teresa here in 2019, but you are still not good enough. You can make every morally right decision, but unless you've surrendered your life to Jesus, He is our hope. And so my prayer, the reason why this church exists, is to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Because He's the one that can handle your pain. He's the one that can handle your problems. God's doing a deep work in somebody right now. And all you gotta do is surrender. It's not rocket science, y'all. All you gotta do is say, Jesus, I've tried it my way and it doesn't work. So I surrender, I give my life to you. That's all you gotta do. It's gotta be more complicated than that, Pastor. No, it's not. Jesus has paid the price for your sins. It is available to you. The offer is slid across the table. You just have to receive it. It's the best gift you'll ever get. But you got to receive it. You can't push it back. Doesn't matter how great the gift is. Doesn't matter how great the giver of the gift is. If you don't receive it, you don't get the gift. You got to receive it today. God's word tells us, keep your eyes closed, please. God's word tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you believe in your heart that Jesus raised from the dead and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it's believe and confess, that if you do that, you will be saved. Your final destination will be heaven. We don't push church around here or religion. We push relationship with Jesus. He wants to be your best friend. That's what He wants. So eyes closed, heads bowed. We're almost done, but we're right on time, so don't worry about that. But if you're here in this room, you're listening online, if that's you, man, I know I'm far from God. I know I don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I don't know what it all looks like, but I just want to surrender my life to Him. If that's you, could you raise your hand so I could see it? Thank you so much. You can put your hand down. Anybody else here in this room, you can participate online. The service is for you. No one looking but me. Thank you so much, Lord. Those that raised their hand a moment ago, and all the Christ followers that support, would you repeat this prayer out loud? I love this about this church, that you are not alone in this. So it won't just be a few voices. There will be many voices in this room. Repeat this after me, and more than that, believe it with all your heart. Say this: Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made for me. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and I confess that you are my Lord, that you are my Savior. Jesus, forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. Make me new. Come on, say this to Him. Jesus, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.